Right. So today we're really getting into some juicy stuff with The Shadows of the Seen, this novel by Timothy Gager.
Oh, yeah, definitely a real page turner.
It is. This book weaves together these three really interesting lives.
Okay.
Candace, who is like a rising political star,
Right.
Peter, who is her ex-boyfriend, and Lucky, this guy who's got incredible luck, or so we think.
Yeah, at least for a while, yeah.
So our deep dive today is going to like dig into these characters and really try to figure out like what makes them tick, you know?
Hard into it.
What are their motivations? What are their secrets? What are their driving forces behind their actions?
Yeah, like Gager really gets you thinking about ambition and guilt
Oh
and
yeah.
just the whole idea of luck. Like, what even is it, you know?
Right, exactly. So let's start with Candace. She's like this super ambitious woman, you know,
Yeah.
climbing that political ladder. But she's got some serious baggage, right?
Right.
Back in high school, she had this relationship with Peter.
Right.
And there was a pregnancy and an abortion.
Yeah.
And it sounds like her parents really pushed for that to happen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's heavy stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that really adds to the complexity of her character, especially her stance on abortion.
Oh, absolutely.
It's almost like, you know, she's out there advocating for women's rights,
Right.
but then her own experience is so messed up.
Yeah, it's like this hypocrisy that we see a lot in politics.
Totally, yeah. And it makes you think, like, how much of her public image is genuine?
Yeah.
And then there's the whole hush money thing, paid to Peter to keep quiet.
Right, to make sure it doesn't talk about it. Yeah.
So she's dealing with that secret. She's forced to take stances on these really sensitive issues that don't really line up with her own experiences.
Yeah.
And she's constantly navigating the world of political fundraising, you know, taking money from these lobbyists who she might not even agree with.
Right, like the whole system is just built on compromise.
Yeah, it's like, how do you stay true to yourself in that kind of environment?
It's a question a lot of politicians wrestle with, but I think Gager does a really good job showing the psychological toll it takes on Candace.
Yeah, totally. Like the anxiety, the guilt, the fear of being exposed,
Yes, well, there, yeah.
especially with that turning point where she changes her stance on gun control after that horrible school shooting.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That felt huge. Like you could just feel the backlash coming.
Especially from groups like Guns for Nuns. It's like Gager's showing how polarized everything's become.
Totally, yeah. Like there's no room for nuance. It's just anger and fear driving the conversation.
Right.
So you have Candace dealing with all of that, and then we switch gears to Peter, whose story is almost like a psychological thriller.
Oh, for sure.
He's got this troubled past, a tough relationship with his parents, and these episodes he calls blackout tunnels, where he just like shuts down during times of stress.
Yeah, that's a powerful image.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Like, what do you think it symbolizes?
Well, to me, it represents Peter's inability to cope with the trauma he's experienced.
Oh, yeah.
Like the abortion, the hush money, the whole feeling of being silenced and betrayed.
Yeah. It's like he's retreating into this dark space where he doesn't have to feel anything
Yeah, exactly.
and all that simmering resentment, you know.
Yeah.
It really fuels his fixation on Candace and her family.
Oh, absolutely. Like, he's convinced they ruined his life. He wants to make them pay for it.
Yeah. It's scary how those feelings can like fester and turn into something dangerous.
Right. It shows how unresolved trauma can manifest in these really destructive ways.
Totally. And it's not just like thoughts. He actually lashes out during one of his therapy sessions with Kelly Granta.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was intense.
That's definitely a sign that things are escalating, like his anger's not contained anymore.
Yeah, it makes you worried about what he might do next.
Absolutely. Gager builds the tension so well. Like, you feel both scared of Peter and kind of sympathetic to him at the same time.
Right, it's not like he's just some one-dimensional villain.
No, not at all. He's a really complex character. You can understand his pain, but you also see the danger he poses.
Now let's talk about Lucky. This guy who like seems to defy all odds.
Right, like he's living in a different reality almost.
Yeah, exactly. He wins games effortlessly, survives crazy accidents, even walks a tightrope on his first try.
Yeah, like, come on, is this guy for real?
It's wild. But then again, it makes you wonder if Gager's setting us up for something, you know?
Yeah, it's almost too good to be true.
Right. Like, is this just a fun character quirk, or is there something deeper going on?
It makes you question the whole idea of luck, right? Like, is it random chance, or is there something more to it?
Yeah, and Lucky definitely seems to think he's got some kind of magical ability.
Right, but he doesn't really acknowledge the possibility of things going wrong, does he?
Nope, not at all. He's got these rose-colored glasses on.
And then, of course, things do change.
Right. Oh, yeah, big time. The seizures start, his marriage to Grace falls apart, his father dies, and his luck just vanishes.
It's a harsh reality check.
It is. Like, nobody's immune to life's curveballs.
And for Lucky, it forces him to face his own vulnerabilities.
Yeah, that illusion of control is shattered.
And it really humanizes him, makes his encounter with Peter later on even more impactful.
Totally. But before we get to that, let's go back to Candace for a second.
Okay.
We left her at a crossroads, facing a ton of backlash for her stance on gun control.
Yeah, it's a tough position to be in.
And then she decides to break with her party and push for stricter laws.
Wow, so she really puts her neck on the line.
She does. What did you think of that decision?
It's a bold move. Shows a lot of personal growth, I think.
Yeah, like she's finally standing up for what she believes in, even if it costs her politically.
Exactly. It raises that question, you know, like how do you balance personal morality with the compromises of politics?
Yeah, is it even possible to stay true to yourself in that world?
It's a tough one, that's for sure.
And for Candace, it's not just about her career. She's also wrestling with those past decisions, you know, the abortion, the hush money.
Right, that guilt's got to be weighing on her.
Yeah, and then that scene with Juliette DeBrusque, the mother of the child killed in the school shooting.
Oh, man, that was a powerful scene.
It was so intense. Like, Candace sees her own regret reflected in Juliette's grief.
Yeah, that scene really gets to the heart of the human cost of these tragedies.
Totally. It's not just about politics. It's about real people, real lives.
And Juliette, you know, she's not just a grieving mother. She's a force to be reckoned with.
Oh, absolutely. She's challenging Candace, the whole system even.
Yeah, she represents all those individuals directly impacted by gun violence.
Mm-hmm. And her story highlights something that runs throughout the book, this idea of interconnectedness.
Oh, yeah.
Like what Candace did back in high school, that private matter, it spills over into the public sphere with these devastating consequences.
It's a reminder that our choices, even those made in secret, have a ripple effect.
Yeah, you never know how things are going to connect, how one decision can lead to another.
And Gager does a fantastic job weaving those connections together in this book.
All right, so let's bring Peter back into the picture.
Okay.
His resentment toward Candace keeps growing, and his actions, they just get more and more erratic.
Yeah, it's clear that he's heading down a dark path.
Yeah, like during that therapy session with Kelly Granta, he explodes.
Oh, man. That scene was really disturbing.
It was. It was intense. And it shows how much his anger is consuming him.
Yeah, like he's lost control. He's blinded by this need for revenge.
Yeah, it's like he thinks that by hurting Candace and her family, he can somehow fix his own past.
It's a dangerous way of thinking.
Totally. And it leads him to Nashville, where he sets his sights on Candace's parents during that anti-gun rally.
Oh, wow. So we've got Candace taking a stand against gun violence, yeah. Peter plotting revenge, and Lucky, well, who knows what he's up to at this point.
It's like fate itself is orchestrating this encounter, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's this incredible convergence of their lives, all driven by their own choices and circumstances.
So let's talk about that climax.
Okay.
Peter's there at the rally, ready to take his revenge. He's armed, focused, and dangerous.
The tension must be through the roof.
Oh, it is. And then Lucky, who's also at the rally, has another seizure.
Oh, no.
And he falls right into Peter's path, disrupting his whole plan.
Wow, talk about a twist of fate.
I know, right? It's pure chaos. And in the confusion, Peter gets arrested.
So Lucky accidentally becomes a hero.
Yeah, it's a resolution you don't see coming, but it kind of fits with his whole defying the odds thing.
It's like Gager saying that even in the midst of all this darkness, there's still room for chance for the unexpected to happen.
Yeah, and it makes you think about, like, was Lucky really a hero, or was he just a pawn in this bigger game he didn't even understand?
That's a great question, and I think it's one that Gager wants us to wrestle with.
Okay, so we're back, and we've seen these three lives collide in a way that nobody could have predicted.
Yeah, it's a lot to process.
Definitely. But now we're in the aftermath, right? Like the dust is settling after the shooting and we're left to deal with the fallout.
What I find interesting about this last part of the book is how Gager shifts the focus. It's like we move away from the immediate drama and start looking at the bigger picture.
Oh, yeah, totally. Like how the media reacts to the shooting and the whole debate about gun control.
Yeah, it's like he's holding up a mirror to society, forcing us to confront some uncomfortable truths.
Yeah, and one thing that really stood out to me was how the media portrays Lucky as this hero.
Oh, yeah, the reluctant hero.
It's like, do we always need to create heroes and villains? Even when things are so much more complicated.
It's like we can't handle the nuance, right? We need these simple narratives to make sense of the world.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder about Lucky himself, you know?
Right, like does he even see himself as a hero?
He was just there dealing with his own stuff. And his seizure, which is like a deeply personal and uncontrollable thing, ends up preventing this tragedy.
It makes you think, like, how many other heroes are out there who just happen to be in the right place at the right time?
Right. Like, were they really heroic or was it just a pure chance?
And it's interesting how Gager also shows the darker side of how the media can manipulate these events.
Oh, yeah. Like with Bobby Joe, Candace's husband.
He uses her death to push his own agenda. Right.
Yeah. It's like even in the wake of this horrible tragedy, there's still this political maneuvering going on.
And it highlights the contrast between Bobby Joe's calculated response and the genuine grief of Candace's parents and Juliette DeBrusque.
Yeah, they're all dealing with loss, but their motivations for wanting change are so different.
And those differences really get to the heart of the book's exploration of grief, you know, how it shakes our choices and how we respond to these events.
But even with all the darkness, there's still a sense of hope in the book, right? Like in those who are fighting for change.
Absolutely. It's not about offering easy answers or pretending everything's going to be okay.
It's about acknowledging the complexity of these issues and the human cost involved.
And recognizing that even small acts of courage and compassion can make a difference.
So the book ends with Lucky going back to his life. But he's changed. He's lost that carefree spirit, that belief in luck.
He's carrying the weight of what happened, the burden of being called a hero.
And he's left with this question, like, what does it all mean? Which is something we all grapple with, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, we're all trying to find meaning in a world that often feels random and chaotic.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes The Shadows of the Scene such a powerful book. It doesn't try to wrap everything up neatly.
It leaves you with questions, with a sense of unease, and this realization that truth can be found in the most unexpected places.
It's a story that challenges you, makes you think, and ultimately leaves you with a deeper understanding of just how messy and complicated life can be.
And sometimes that's the best kind of story, right? The one that stays with you long after you finish reading it.
Yeah, I think so. So if you're looking for a book that's going to make you think, feel, and question everything, I highly recommend The Shadows of the Scene.
It's a deep dive into some dark places, but it's also a story about hope, about the possibility of finding meaning even when things seem hopeless.
And with that, we're wrapping up our deep dive into The Shadows of the Scene.
Thanks for joining us.
We hope you enjoyed exploring this amazing book with us. And until next time, keep searching, keep questioning, and keep those minds open.
Because sometimes the most illuminating truths are hidden in the shadows.